In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. It is so good to be back with you this morning on Word for Life broadcast. As you may know, I am the senior citizens pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and that gives me many opportunities to spend time with folks as they are in their last section of the journey. And I also am probably in my last section of my journey. And so consequently, it causes you to give some more thought to life and leaving a legacy. You know, somebody said that your legacy will be written in at least two places, on your tombstone and the hearts of those who knew you best. I guess the question then arises for me is, what hope and wisdom will remain in our three children and our 10 grandchildren? What truths will stick with them long after I'm gone? Because we need to be making memories before we lose ours. Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is kind of reaching the end of his life in ministry. Let me call your attention to a couple of verses. If you have a Bible available and you're not driving or you're not at work, let's take a look at these verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. The Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Notice he doesn't say work for your salvation, but work it out. In other words, live it out. And then verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." In other words, God gives you the desire and the ability to live his life, to do his will, to know his will. And then it says in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." We are really good at that. Complaining, murmuring, disputing, arguing all the time. Then he says in verse 15, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me." You see, the goal of our lives, especially in the last years of our lives, is to be involved in intergenerational communication, to be influencing the younger generation and helping them to understand that the joy and rejoicing that we go through is there to impact their generation. And just as we are the influencer, they're the influenced, that they can experience joy and rejoicing in the entire process of being positively impacted with our love and God's truth. So you see the last two verses, the Apostle Paul says, "I joy and rejoice with you all, for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me." In other words, it should be a joy to be able to share who God is, what God has done, what God is capable of doing with the younger generation, and in such a way that it becomes a joy and a source of rejoicing for them. Now let's talk about our legacy. Basically, it's all about relationships. See, your relationship that you have with your grandchildren may be the most important relationship of their teenage years. Now, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to come and sit at your feet and say, "Granddaddy, teach me some important truths." Nah, it doesn't usually happen that way. But God does give us the opportunity to share some things that he's taught us. Now, don't mess it up by requiring them to believe just like you do, or maybe act or dress or present themselves exactly the way you do. It's a new generation. So don't mess up this relationship by those kind of demands. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 12, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." So Peter said in his later years of life, "I intend to remind you of these qualities." And many times that reminder takes place quicker and more enduring as they watch it in your life and my life, as opposed to hear it. See, it's amazing how young people are so different generation after generation. In fact, I was reading the other day that the teenage years in England is often called kippers, kids in parents' pocket eroding parents' retirement. K-I-P-P-E-R-S, kids in parents' pocket eroding parents' retirement. Well, you know, when we have a good relationship, we don't mind that, because God gives us what he gives us to be involved in the lives of the next generation. So a legacy is all about relationships. Secondly, relationships are founded upon mutual respect. See, it's not just their respect for us, but it's our respect for them. Now, as you look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it can be applied to the grandparent-grandchild relationship. It says in verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." See, sadly, in today's culture, the communication is more about one-way expression of your thoughts and beliefs than the two-way street of somebody actively listening to the hearts of people struggling to be heard. Teenagers are struggling to be heard. Now, they won't tell you that, but so many times they desperately need somebody just to listen. And that means focusing more on the other person speaking than maybe on my desire to speak. You see, as we have the opportunity to listen, we earn the opportunity to be heard. But often miscommunication occurs when we speak to someone who doesn't even speak our language. I remember when we were in China, we were at the Great Wall of China, and there was a Starbucks there, and so we got some coffee, and I don't know if it was because Starbucks was an English word. I had no clue what caused it, but my wife was trying to communicate with the Chinese folks that were working there, and she was saying to them, "We are from the United States of America," and they'd kind of look at her like, And so obviously they didn't get it. So she would speak it louder. "We are from the United States of America, United States." And they'd look at her like, They had no clue what she was saying. You know, sometimes we, as parents and grandparents, we kind of pick up on the same thing. We think our teenager grandson, granddaughter, is understanding, but they don't seem to be. So we raise our voices, or we enunciate our words more forcefully. That's the wrong approach. They don't speak our language many times. They have a different language. And so we have to make sure that we understand their language first. It reminds me of a fellow that was in San Francisco, and he decided he would visit the China section, Chinatown it was called. And so he was just walking around looking at all the establishments and the Chinese names and everything. And then he came across a laundry, and it was called Moshi Plotnik, Chinese Laundryman. And the guy laughed and he said, "Moshi Plotnik? What in the world? That is not a Chinese name at all." So he walked into the laundry and he said, I'd like to speak to Moshi Plotnik. And the Chinese man said, "Is me." And the fellow looked at him and he said, "Where did you get the name Moshi Plotnik?" And the Chinese man says, "Very simple." He said, "I was standing in immigration line man in front of me talking to woman at desk. Woman say to him, what is your name? And he say, Moshe Plotnik. So she gave him his forms. I stepped up. She said, what is your name? And he said, Sim Ting. And so he got Moshe Plotnik on his card as well. Well, you know, the problem was they didn't speak the same language. And sad to say, so many times when we're talking to our grandchildren, that's what's happening. We think we're talking their language, but because we don't listen enough to understand, we're not even speaking the same language. As a result of that, our influence is definitely not what God wants it to be. See, now, your influence is more than the money that you leave. It's about the influence and the impact that you leave in the hearts of your family. And many times, that's because we have to choose to spend time with them. What a blessing it was when our boys were at home. We took them on mission trips. And so it wasn't unusual for our youngest son to go to the mission field, spend 20 years in Brazil, because we were with him on those trips. Sports activities do the same thing. You're spending time together with your children, with your grandchildren. And as our children got married and had children themselves, we would often take the entire family, children, grandchildren, on a vacation and pay for the whole thing. You say, well, man, that was expensive, yes. But that was making memories that our grandchildren would long talk about. And we would often ask our grandchildren where they wanted to go. And many times when we got on vacation, we would do what we call cousins camp. We would tell our boys and their wives, now, y'all take 3 or 4 hours this afternoon, go take a nap or go shopping, whatever you want to do. We're going to have cousins camp. And so all the grandchildren were together with us, and we just had an awesome time. We had a Bible story time, and we had craft time, and we had all kinds of things going on. To this day, our grandchildren all remember and talk about cousins camp. See, that's spending time. That's making memories. That's leaving a legacy. And when your grandchildren come to visit, plan activities that are exciting for them to do. A couple years ago, our grandkids came from South Carolina, so we took them to Sunburst Winter Tubing. And, we had a blast. 4 o'clock in the afternoon till about 10 o'clock at night, down the slopes we were going on inner tubes. And they still talk about it today. But also, the impact and influence needs to be time together, just talking. And if there's anything currently unresolved among the family, address it while it's still possible. Help people to understand that you want to understand them. You want to know what's going on with them. So many times we're so busy talking about our lives and our activities that we never hear what's going on in their life and in their activity. And so consequently, as we get together and consider the legacy that God wants us to leave, we're going to be continuing this the next time we're together. We're going to talk about activities that will deepen our relationships with our children and our grandchildren. And so between now and the next time, plan some time to be on your knees asking God to give you wisdom to leave a lasting impact for Christ. Until the next time, and the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.